Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we're going to have to pick up our pace a little bit. We're almost 5 o'clock already. We have the baptism, which I'm excited about. And let me just encourage you as well. Don't leave. Go down to see the baptism. We have a child getting baptized today, so she's in one of your Sunday school classes. We have two adult ladies getting baptized today. They're probably not, they're one of them's in my Sunday school class. But it'd be very encouraging for as many of us that can. Just march on down the sidewalk there and we'll baptize. Heavenly Father, thank you for this meeting. I've really been helped already in this meeting. I've been greatly encouraged by just seeing people in church. And part of the reason why we should be faithful to your house is because it encourages others. I'm greatly encouraged today by this and for your honor and glory. Thank you that we have a copy of your word, and I pray that in this meeting, someone today would be saved. I know there are people in this room right now that if they died tonight, they would not be in heaven. I know that. There's no way in a group this size everyone is saved. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit would humble that man, humble that lady, and that today they would be saved. Then I'm sure there are numerous others of us that need a more fruit of meekness. Would you show that to us as well? In Jesus' name, amen. Meekness, a word that is definitely not used much in our day. In fact, I don't know that I've ever been anywhere where they said, ladies and gentlemen, we have an award today. We're going to give a certificate for meekness. If you've ever seen one, then great. I missed that one. I've never seen anybody get an award for it. Meekness is usually associated with someone that has little to no personality and not much strength. This, of course, is an improper way of using the word meekness. In fact, I would submit to you that the opposite is actually the case. There is an unseen amount of strength needed for someone to be meek. A definition for meekness: a submissive and teachable spirit toward God that reveals itself in genuine consideration toward others. Meekness, another definition: a strong backbone, but a willingness to yield. And yes, it is true, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is a willingness to help those who have needs. Know anybody that has a need today? Well, I'm sure we all do. Meekness says, I'm willing to put aside what I need to be a help to someone else. Vance Havner said this: God uses broken things. Amen? I is one. Sorry for the English. You is one. We are all broken things here today. God uses broken things. It takes broken soil. Follow this quote. It's a message in itself. It takes broken soil to produce a crop. Talked about that in Sunday school. It takes broken clouds to give rain. It takes broken grain to give bread. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth the perfume. It is Peter weeping bitterly, who returns to greater power than ever. It is meekness. You can take your Bible quickly and turn with me to the book of Matthew 21, and we even read in the Bible the meekness of our Savior. Again, all of these fruit of the Spirit, we find the greatest example in Jesus Christ. There is no greater example in the Bible of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 21 and verse 5, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. What's the next word? Meek. Thy king cometh unto thee meek. There's nothing weak about Jesus Christ, but there is a lot of things that are meek about Jesus Christ. He had the power. He had the authority. And yet we find him over and over in the pages of the Word of God being greatly concerned about the needs of others. Let's give an outline this afternoon about this. Number one, let's see the birth of meekness. The birth of meekness. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Of course, we read just a moment ago, the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. The birth of meekness, letter A, it is produced by the Holy Spirit. All of these fruit are produced by the Holy Spirit. But we'll just keep reminding us of that. Meekness is one of them. If we're going to be the meek man and the meek lady that God wants us to be, we're going to have to let the Holy Spirit produce that in our life. Now, here's something about being meek. The meek, Psalm 25:9, the meek will learn of God. Look at Psalm 25:9. The Bible says, the meek will he guide in judgment. I need God's guidance, don't you? I need God's leading in my life, don't you? I need God's way to be revealed in my life. The worst case is that we would go into this life full of ourselves, knowing, I know what's best for me. I know what's best for my family. I know what's best for this church. I know what's best for my Sunday school class. I know what's best for. No, we don't know what's best for. We need God's guidance. We need a dose of meekness in our life. That is strength and power. We've heard that before. Strength or power under control. Then it says, and the meek will he teach his way. Oh, I look at the way in which some people are going. I look at the way even sometimes in my own life, and I think this is not the right way. This is not the way to handle it. The Bible says here, if we want God's direction, if we want God's, what does he say? Teaching. It comes from being meek. It comes from recognizing that it only comes, meekness can only come through a personal daily relationship with God. The story I read was told of two different ladies. They were in a laundromat at the same time. And they were sitting in the laundromat doing, I guess, what you do in the laundromat. Laundry, right? They were waiting on the laundry, and at the same time, they were mending pants. This must have been a long time ago, right? No, I'm sure some of you mend pants. They were sewing pants. The first lady said this, my husband is so miserable. Nothing goes right at his work. He can't find anything good on television. I don't know why that's so bad. Our home is a place of despair. When we go to church, the song leader is terrible, and the pastor is an idiot. The other woman who was there, listened intently to that, said this, my husband is so excited. He can't wait to go to church. He loves the sermons. We laugh all the time. We enjoy our family. Needless to say, after that response, it was very quiet between those two ladies. There was not much conversation going on. And suddenly, they realized something. The first wife was patching the seat of the man's pants. The second wife was patching the knees of the man's pants. You can take that however far you want to take it. If we want meekness, it's available to us. And by the way, a meek man, a meek lady will see God's direction. I think many times we are heading headlong away from the will of God simply because a lack of meekness. Simply because a lack of going to God and seeking his will. So we see that is the meek will learn of God. Number two, underneath the produced by the Holy Spirit, the meek will be supplied by God. Turn over to Psalm 22. Probably back just one page. Psalm 22. The Bible says in Psalm 22 and verse number 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. Just think about that. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. I wonder today, where are you finding your satisfaction? I love the little song we sing in the hymn book. I'm satisfied with just a cottage, me low, a little silver. Where are you finding your satisfaction? Well, I've accomplished this and I've accomplished that, and I've done this and I've done that, and praise the Lord for the accomplishments, even temporal, physical, accomplishments that we've been able to accomplish. But I love what the Bible says here. Then he says that the meek shall praise the Lord and seek him, and our heart shall live forever. We shall eat and be satisfied. Let's find our satisfaction in God. Let's find our satisfaction in the ways of God. Let's find our satisfaction in the Word of God. Let's find our satisfaction, as we learned last week, being faithful to God. The Bible here tells us that the meek will be supplied by God. Where are you getting your supply? Where am I getting my supply? Where are we finding our satisfaction? God says, I want to be your satisfaction. I want to be your supply. I want to be what you long for. I want to be what you aim for. I want to be what you're looking for, pleasing an almighty God. And by the way, that doesn't mean that we have to ignore every other relationship in our life. You know what? If we put God in first place, it will help every other relationship in our life. How can we love God with all our heart and then love our husband or love our wife or love our children? You know what? I may not be able to explain it to you in a logical way, but I know this is true from the Word of God, that when I put God first in my life, somehow every other relationship is going to be in the proper order that God intends it to be. Follow God's word on that thing. Follow God's way. The meek will be supplied by God. Dr. Samuel Bringle, who I don't know, but I found a very interesting quote, said this: the axe cannot boast of the trees it has cut down. It could do nothing by for the woodsman. He made it. He sharpened it. He used it. The moment he throws it aside, it becomes only old iron. Oh, that I may never lose sight of this. It is not about what we can accomplish, but it's about the God who holds us in our hands. Today, if you're saved, God is holding you in his hand, and it's not just about taking you to heaven when you die. It's supplying every need of your life, every day of your life. It's not just about keeping you out of hell, but it's giving you and giving me a life full of joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm so glad that the mercies of God are new every day, and his faithfulness is so great. You know, today we had our men's meeting at the church office, and two men testified, and I wasn't really planning on doing this, but two men testified that they had the opportunity, and I won't say who, that they shared the gospel with certain individuals, one a family member and one an associate at work, and they both trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Praise God for the power of the gospel. Praise God that we can be an axe in the hand of Almighty God. See, the meek will be supplied by God. I need some supply. How about you? Nextly, we see the birth of meekness. It's produced by the Holy Spirit. Letter B, it's praised by Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Many of you know the Sermon on the Mount begins in Matthew chapter 5 and runs chapter 6 and chapter 7. If you've never read those three chapters, make a note of it, put it in your bulletin, and this week read those three chapters. Read them maybe several times even. Very powerful preaching. The greatest preacher ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. Read through those. But in Matthew chapter 5, part of the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount are these Beatitudes. And Jesus gives note to meekness in verse number 5, where he says, blessed are the meek. These blesseds in Matthew chapter 5 refer to happiness, to a spirit of joyfulness. And so those that would be meek, Jesus said, have this spirit of joy and happiness. We also see in Isaiah 29 and 19, we won't turn there for time. So number one, we see the birthplace of meekness, or the birth of meekness. Number two, we see the behavior of meekness. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 4, please. Ephesians chapter number 4. The service of a Christian manifests itself in a gentle spirit. Would you please catch that with me one more time? The service of a Christian manifests itself in a gentle spirit. You and I should be firm believers in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Time to wake up. Take a deep breath. We should be firm believers in the Word of God.
Amen.
We should be firm believers in the principles and the doctrine of the Word of God. But that doesn't mean that we have to convey that in a caustic way. We can convey that in a spirit of gentleness, in a spirit of meekness. Yes, Jesus used his authority, and at one time even got very, if you will, upset about what was happening in the temple. But remember, he's God, I'm not. You're not. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, when it says be angry and sin not, he can do that perfectly. I can't. So I got to be very careful. My line has to be drawn way back. The point is this: service of a Christian manifests itself in a gentle spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 2. Let's read 1 and 2. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. This walk worthy is our daily conduct. It is our daily, it is our daily duty, if you will. It is our daily action, if you will. And Paul says here in verse number 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Letter A, meekness properly responds to trials and troubles. There is no one in this room that is anticipating trial and trouble. You don't sit around waiting for the phone to ring and say, your job is no longer. No one sits around the phone and waits for the call from the doctor on the ultrasound that was just taken about the lump that's in your throat or in your back or on your foot or wherever. No one sits around and waits and is anticipating bad news. No one lives like that. We all know, because this body is a body of flesh, that trouble and trials come to each and every one of us. And we see here that we properly should respond to the trials and troubles that come our way. I cannot control anything that comes my way. Turn quickly, if you will, to Titus chapter number 3. As well, as we think about this, I cannot control the actions of others. Titus chapter 3. There are many people in this room today that if we could somehow hear everyone's story and everyone's situation in life, there could be some very viable life experiences in here where some of you and many of you could say, okay, this experience happened in my life and it was sin, it was wrong, it wasn't of God. In other words, God is not the creator or the author of sin. And you and I cannot control how people treat us. But I can control my response. I can control the way I act. I should never react. I should always act. With the help of God's Spirit, we can have a spirit of meekness about us. Look what it says in Titus chapter 3. You're there? Titus chapter 3, verse 2. To speak evil of no man. Let's stop right there. To speak evil of no man. How many men does that mean we're allowed to speak evil of? But what did they say? You don't know what they said about me. That's not what it says here. There's no parentheses in my Bible that says, but if they talk bad about you, you can still talk evil about them. Is that in your Bible? No. Speak evil of no man. I find it this way, that if we could learn this principle of meekness and responding appropriately, many times conflicts, troubles, difficulties, even in a husband and wife relationship, in a co-worker relationship, in a friend, sometimes friends say things to each other that maybe they didn't really give much thought to, they just blurted it out, and whatever it may be, that if one of us would adopt as a husband maybe, or as a wife, or whatever, we would say, look, I'm going to have a spirit of meekness about me that I don't speak evil of any man. Speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers. You can, you know, a one-person fight doesn't last very long. We're going to not have anybody come up and demonstrate a one-man fight up here. It would probably be funny, but it wouldn't last very long. You can only punch yourself so many times. And I'm using that in a very, you know, a little bit of a funny way there. A fight can end, a brawl can end, if one person is willing to say, you know what, this argument, this disagreement, it's going nowhere in a hurry, right? It's getting us nowhere. No, be no brawlers, quickly, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Unto all men. Meekness is the power to back away from an argument, even if you're right. I've got this one. I have that, man. I have this one. My wife is wrong on this one. I have her. I'm not speaking about my wife. I'm speaking. And you know what? Maybe you're right. But meekness says it's not worth it. Because there's 10 other times when she was right and I was wrong. So why have this one little victory dance over the one time I was right? Meekness backs away and says, okay, we'll do it that way. Okay, well, that's the way it's going to work. You know, this can be in a church relationship between a brother in Christ and another brother in Christ. Meekness, let me say it again, meekness is the strength to back away from a fight even if you're right and you could win. See, that's why meekness is not weakness. Because it takes more strength to back away from a fight that you're winning and say, this fight is not worth it, white flag is waving, than it does to continue brawling, arguing, backbiting, and all the rest of that mess. And many times that's what happens in local churches, is that pride gets in and Satan gets in there and he starts stirring the pot. And yes, look, there is somebody in most arguments, there is somebody who's wrong and somebody who's right most of the time. Sometimes both are wrong. Amen. But there is that time where, yes, okay, this is definitely right and this is definitely wrong. But, you know, at the end of the day, the devil wins when we keep adding gas to that fire. Instead of getting the fire hydrant right over there on the wall and taking it off, the fire hydrant of meekness, and just spraying it all over that thing. And just let it in. The Bible here says that I'm supposed to be meekness to all men. But you don't know how they treated me. Doesn't matter. The Bible gives no exclusions or exceptions. It takes a lot. By the way, you know how much strength that takes to back off from somebody who's pummeling you? And I'm not talking about in the ring, right? I'm talking about in life. Because the natural man, what does the natural man want to do? Just spray it right back. But a spirit of meekness says, okay, you're right. And just leave it with the Lord. We properly respond to trials and troubles. Meekness. Found this neat illustration of a mango tree. How many of you have lived in places where they have mango trees? Quite a few mango tree people, okay? I love mangoes. I had the privilege of going to places that have mango trees, but I've never had one before. I don't think they would survive here in Vancouver. But comparing the Christian missionary to the mango tree. Comparing the Christian to the mango tree. It doesn't have to be the missionary. All of our branches hang with fruit. I've seen this firsthand, and many of you have as well. That fruit is then assaulted with stones and clubs by passerbyers, trying to knock down the fruit. How does the tree respond to the stone? How does the tree respond to the kid that shimmies up in it and shakes the branches or bangs it? How does the tree respond? drops the fruit. It drops the fruit at every blow. It drops the fruit at the feet of those who were throwing the rocks, who were smacking the branches. At the close of the season, that mango tree might even have scars and marks on it from those who were trying to get its fruit. Leaves could be torn off and possibly even have some branches broken, but something interesting happened. The next year, it bears more fruit than the previous year. That is what meekness should do in the world. Not try to conserve its self-esteem, but bear fruit. Fruit that descends low at the attack of cruel words and actions. Christian meekness must be manifested within the framework of society, a society that hates the Lord Jesus Christ and hates him openly. And by the way, anyone standing for Christ. Jesus told his disciples, the world will hate you, but the world hated me before it hated you. Folks, we have the opportunity to let our branches hang and let the fruit of the gospel hang, and in meekness just take the gospel to those. And yes, some people will throw rocks. Some people will, maybe not literally, but hopefully not literally, but some people will throw rocks with words. May we allow the spirit of meekness to rule in our life. Meekness, letter B, properly responds in marriage, and I've really kind of already talked about that. The references are there, Ephesians 5:21. Let's quickly go to Ephesians 5:21. Meekness responds properly in marriage. I don't know if you've noticed something about these fruit of the Spirit, but if each husband and each wife would have a whole basket of these and be determined to have every one of these fruit in their basket, your marriage would be that much better. In fact, your marriage and my marriage would be 10 times better if both husband and wife would say, I need all of these fruit in my basket every day for the glory of God. Ephesians 5:21, the Bible says there, submitting yourselves one to another. Every husband in the room loves to talk about submission. But the Bible says part of our submission is to one another. Me submitting to my wife submitting to me. Meekness, the ability to disagree agreeably. Could you meditate on that one for a minute? You can disagree without a pan being thrown through the sky, or a pot, or a word of degrading word. You can disagree agreeably. The last time I checked, husbands and wives don't think the same. How come everybody's so quiet? Do you guys all think alike? I say blue, she says black. What does it look like? I mean, right? So meekness, disagree agreeably. First grader Melanie had announced that she was engaged to marry the young gentleman next door, but the engagement was broken abruptly. Why aren't you going to marry Danny? Asked Melanie's mother. Well, he just isn't ready for marriage, and besides that, he scribbled in my coloring book. Agree agreeably. Look, there's a whole lot greater things that we've done to one another than coloring in someone's coloring book. I'm so glad God loves me in spite of me and how I treat him sometimes. Your husband may scribble in your coloring book today. What are we going to do about it? That's it. I've told you before not to do that, and I'm not talking about coloring in your coloring book. That's it. Last chance. No, I'm glad God doesn't say to me, last chance. Letter C, meekness promptly responds in witnessing. 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. This is something we really need to adhere to from God's word. I have to admit that there has been a few times in my adult life that I have not responded in meekness to someone when sharing the gospel or even inviting them to church. And I think if you've done any of that and you know how people respond sometimes, it can be very easy to set aside the fruit of meekness over here and then just, that's not going to get anything accomplished. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with what? Meekness, fear, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, like we're the problem. If all of you people that go to church would just leave me alone. They don't understand is it's not about going to church. It's not about pestering. It's about a love for God. It's about a love for the gospel. It's about making sure people know the Savior that we know. But here Peter says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, and as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ, your good lifestyle in Christ. That can only come as we exemplify meekness as we share the gospel. Quickly, number three. We said the behavior of meekness, the birth of meekness. One more, quickly, the byproduct of meekness. What comes out of our meekness? Quickly, letter A, it reveals Christ in us. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Our husband needs to see Christ in us. Our wife needs to see Christ in us. Our children need to see Christ in us. Our boss needs to see Christ in us. Our co-workers need to see Christ in us. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. I am meek. And lowly in heart, you shall find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The world needs to see not Pastor Turner. The world needs to see Christ in me. The world doesn't need to see you. The world sees enough of what man has to offer. The world needs to see Christ in us. Letter B, meekness reflects the word of God. It reflects the word of God. Turn quickly to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1, verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, moral defilement. Superfluity of naughtiness, malice. So lay apart moral defilement. Lay apart malice, ill will. Instead, receive with meekness what? The engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Meekness allows me to receive the word of God. Folks, if you make it a conviction and a biblical conviction to come to church when the doors are open, and I would encourage you to do that, come in a spirit of meekness though. Saying, I'm ready to receive the word of God. If the word of God challenges me about a way that I'm living or not living, then I'm going to change. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit of God have the victory today. That takes meekness. Instead of putting our backbone up, or our back up, if you will, and fighting it, no, being humble and yielding to what God has through His Word. It helps us to receive the Word of God. And then secondly, it helps us to live the Word of God. A meek individual is a teachable individual. Greatest example of meekness is our Lord Jesus Christ. He was able to show His power in performing miracles, and at the same time, He allowed the torment of Calvary. Talk about meekness. He fed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's miracle power, amen? But yet he allowed some Roman soldiers to whip him with a cat of nine tails repeatedly. He allowed a crown of thorns to be placed upon his head in mockery because he had said he was the king. He allowed them to take a purple robe and wrap it upon his bloodied body. He had the power to stop it at any moment. But his power was laid aside. His deity was laid aside, if you will. Meekness came and took over. Why? Because he saw Dan Watson. He saw Ben Turner. He saw James Nelson and every other sinner in the room. 3 big ones right here. Me, Dan, and James, big sinners. But you're right with us. He saw you. He saw you as a sheep, no shepherd. He saw me as a sheep, no shepherd. And he said, I have the power. On my word, this is over. Because of meekness, he said, I will do the will of my Father. I will allow this to happen because I love those whom I was sent to seek and to save. Today, you can be saved because of the meekness of Jesus. Don't reject the meek and lowly Savior. He said he will come riding upon the foal of an ass in meekness. This was the king riding on a donkey. He didn't come to set up his kingdom. He came meek and lowly so that one day you and I would see him in heaven face to face.